Dear Father, we thank you very much for another opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, dear Lord, for your grace that took us to the convention, the provision for it, both the venue and the finances, and the services and the blessings. We are grateful, we are thankful. Lord, thank you for foiling all the plans of the evil one, as he attempted several ways, but he never succeeded. We are grateful unto you. Dear Lord, we have come to return thanksgiving and appreciation unto you. We pray, O God, that you be with us, O God, and bless our guardian. Thank you for the blessings in the Sunday school. Thank you for testimonies. Thank you for special numbers. We are grateful, we are thankful. We thank you for taking those that came for the convention back to their destinations. May your name be glorified. Lord Jesus, we just bless your name as we leave everything in your hand today, that you will bless us further. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Sister Ogunye is also in church. God bless you. We have missed her for some months. No, we don't matter. Past 3 days. For some months. Yes. God bless you, sister. And we congratulate you for the baby that God has given you. The Lord bless you more and more. Sister Diagua, last is still around. It's the brother. They have gone.
Brothers?
The husband. Yes, eh? Okay, brother, they have gone. Brother Diago. Brother Diago. How many times I call you? May the Lord help you. The enemy wants to sip you as a wheat. We'll be praying for you. Let's open our Bible.
Yes, we are.
Psalm 107, verse 1 to 8. All right. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, they are so fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Mark chapter 11, from verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's finally read St. John chapter 4, verse 52. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. The next one. So the father knew that it was the same at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. You can please be seated. So for Brother Fonsho, I have done so. You didn't hear. I have done so. All right. We want to speak on testimonies. The enemy is not asleep, and God too is not asleep. The Bible said of him that he goeth about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So, especially like the convention we just ended, and as always, almost every year, Satan fights. He fights seriously to see that it does not happen. Because You know, the pastor's health had been weak. That is a clear something, but we thank God that at least he could come and enjoy the blessings and the
lessons.
And the way that busy doing the up and down, the devil tried to see that he do one thing or the other to divert our attention. The last 3 years or so,
I think
my wife spent in the convention in the hospital. Last 2 years, the same. Well, the devil saw that God has helped her to a level that one is behind. Then, the very week of the convention, as we entered the week, Joshua was sick. I was thinking he will help me to do some running around as we plan for the convention. So he went for injection Monday. On Tuesday he was admitted. And plenty injections, plenty drip. Where they discharged him on Wednesday. But very, very weak. Then that Wednesday, when the devil saw that blade is not working, my daughters went to the town. Inside Kekenapep, two of them. The Kekenapep, seeing a trailer, swerve somehow. Fling out everybody from the Kekenapep and fell on them. So, well, the devil also lose on that. So, we just, they have some little scratches and pains in their body. Took them to the hospital. They were treated and they were very active in the convention. This, when we finally arrived at the camp, like we have said, that place is 24 hours light. That's what they told us, and that's what we have been seeing. Then, when Joseph Abarala was preaching, the king of Persia must have told his people, this one is getting too much. The level this man is going, he has scattered all our work. What is all this one? Then he put forth his hand and off the light. Under normal circumstances, that light should be back within 10 minutes. That they will on gen. But they on the gen, the connection could not get through to where we are having the meeting. Then they told us that some people used that place earlier. And they tamper with the settings. So their engineers have to come there and start fumbling with it until they were able to do it and the light got connected. So when the light got connected, then it wasn't long they brought light. But they just left that gen for us to finish the service. But the light was back. So, and then we enjoy the rest of the service. God help the preacher from nervousness. 2 years back, the devil did the same thing. Because mostly, Brad Joseph preaches about faith. So, like I call him Apostle of Faith. So, when this time around, so this one is here again. You have to do something. So it got to some extent. This thing was too much. Let us water this thing. Let's off the light. I told him, whatever time light comes, you will finish your sermon. And We had a wonderful time. And testimonies have begun to come in from places. I think maybe I will read. Please let me bring my answer to the iPhone. I'll read a couple of it. Then we'll go into some testimonies of the message. And then we'll close.
Our party.
Things are happening. Thank you. That is beyond. Satan is confused.
It's
beyond his comprehension. Okay. Maybe he should even be here. Oh, he's also here. I didn't know this where it is. Right. Okay. No worry. Let me read it from here. Last year, our sister Ronke Omotosho sent in this testimony. Said a colleague of mine has been waiting on God, and I told her I will pray for her at the camp. And I'm sure God will answer her. To the glory of God, she has conceived this month. That was in September last year, the very month after the camp meeting. This is also last year from Reverend Stephen Okelete in Lagos. Okelete. Says, Shalom, dear servant of God. I just received some wonderful news this morning from my wife's mother. During this year's Ibadan camp meeting, she came with us to the camp with a special request regarding her daughter who had been missing for over 15 years. She shared her request with the congregation. To the glory of God, her missing daughter was found yesterday. She had to travel to where her daughter was located, and it was a very emotional reunion for the mother and daughter. Brethren, our God indeed answers prayer. That is last year, December 14,
2024.
Last year. Then this year, on the 7th of September, which was a Sunday, this one was sent to Brother Dele, so he forwarded it to me from Brother Sunday. Ogunlade, that's the brother of Brother Mike Ogunlade now, from Truth and Narrow Way, Lagos. He said, may God increase the honor of your ministry. I was tremendously blessed with your sermon this morning. Though I'm not physically present due to ill health, but it performed wonderful healing in my life. God bless you abundantly. This one is from Brother Seth Kameta from UK. It was sent also to Brother Dele. Say, God bless you, sir, for today's service. Just got home from work. My wife was sharing a testimony to me right now. She wasn't feeling fine this morning. I wasn't at all. It was a struggle for her to attend to her baby. But as she was listening to your sermon this morning, she received a healing instantly. God bless you, sir, for healing yourself today. For yielding yourself today. I just had to drop this testimony from Brother Seth Kameta in UK. As the testimonies come in, we will be sharing it with the church. And we will upload them in the testimony column where we have created for testimonies. The efforts are not in vain. The sacrifices are not in vain. Thank you. Yeah, so we want to pick a few testimonies from the prophet, and then we summarize and close. From the message testimony, May 10, paragraph. Let me see if I can. Paragraph 4. I didn't think of it before. I will send it to the projector. I can't do it now. Okay. Testimony 53:05-10, paragraph 4. Now, I want you to notice something. Get this point in mind. The man wanted Jesus to come down to his house and heal his son. But Jesus did not grant his request in the way he wanted it. Sometimes he doesn't do it for us that way. You might say, if I can get in the prayer line, if God will do a certain thing to me. But Jesus said, thy son liveth. And the man believed his word. Now, what if the man had not believed his word? It would have been different. The son would have died. Just like today. If you don't believe his word, you will perish. There is his word. Whosoever will let him come, but if you don't believe it, you will perish in your sins. If you can't believe it for your healing, you probably die sick. Perish in your sickness at young age. But if you believe the word that is said, then you shall have whatever things you ask for and what he has promised. Amen. I want to read the personal testimony of Congressman Upshaw from his own mouth. 510509. The message testimony, paragraph 2 and 3. Yeah. Just, I want him to say a word. All right. Come here, brother congressman. This is the former congressman of the United States. One time, one of the greatest men in our nation. He was crippled for many, many years. 66 years. Was healed here in this meeting. And I feel a great honor tonight to stand before a man or with a man like this. That these crutches supported him for all those years of his youth while he was being prayed for time after time to be healed. And at the age of about 84, now Congress Upshaw gives his testimony. He said just 84. That is him speaking now, Congressman. And I'm 84 years young. Speak 3 or 4 times a day. Speak. Oh, sorrow. He's the one talking. Well, may not be a Akuleko. Oh, sorrow. You will see the next statement. Preach the gospel of the Christ who saved me. That is, he preached about 3 to 4 times a day. Who saved me, stood by me on bed 7 years, and made me happy, and then took me off of the crutches that I have used for 59 years. And now, glory to God, I am walking. He was on bed for 7 years. Then after 7 years, he was now able to use crutches like this, both ham. Then the prophet said, praise the Lord. And you know what this offering is for? They took an offering. He's not able to send his testimony around the country. He can't do it. He's aged. And he has no income. This year offering is to help him send this to all the big men, rulers, and so forth of the nation. God bless our gallant brother. And I want to give him this welcome here to anywhere in the nation that I have meetings or in the world. I'll be very happy to see Congressman Upshaw who come and stand by me at the platform while in services. Then Congressman gives another comment here. He said, remember, I'm sending this folder, that's the testimony now, to every congressman and senator, the president and his wife, and now sending it this week to the King of England, for whom he prayed. That's the person that Abraham prayed for. And Winston Churchill. And I'm going to send one to Joseph Stanley. God have mercy on his soul. The prophet said, amen, amen. That is the personal testimony of Congressman himself. You are familiar with his testimony of how it happened in the meetings. When he came in, Abraham saw a vision of a young man that fell from a haystack. And because of his condition, he said they have to bore hole on the ground because of the vibration. And the prophet said he grew and grew and grew, become great and greater. So while the prophet was describing, somebody on the platform came to meet him. Do you know who you are talking about? The prophet said, I don't know. The prophet is looking at a vision. But some of the people here already know who he is talking about. He said that is Congressman Upshaw. Prophet said, I don't know him. While the prophet was talking, another vision happened of a little child that the mother brought. And then that one was healed. Then they run a mic to the back where the congressman was. Then congressman asked the prophet, how do you ever know those things, my son? He said, I'm just saying what I'm looking at. Then he asked him, would I ever be healed? The prophet said, that's left to the mercy of God. And while the prophet was talking, another vision broke. And he saw him walking on the audience. Then he now asked him, did you have so type of suit? He said he just bought it day before yesterday. Then the prophet said, because of your stand for God, because the reason why they could not vote him as president was because of his stand against alcohol. So he said, because of your stand for God, he said, God has honored you. Then the wife broke down. What is to happen now? He said, congregant offshore, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up on your feet. 7 years on the bed, 59 years on the crutches, all together making 66 years. The man rose up immediately. That same second, that same minute, not only did he stand up, he was able to be touching his toe like this, and he was walking like that to the platform. As he was walking, he was touching his toe. For people to know that the Creator has recreated the system. Because in medical world, there is no explanation for that. Even people are praying for him, the oil that he has been anointed with is in gallons for this number of years. Nevertheless, because God is rich in mercy, sometimes when you do something for God, he writes it and keep it there. There is a day that God will open that fire. It might be when you don't think about it. It might be when you don't expect anything that your fire will be placed before God by the angels and it will attend to your case. Hope was lost. For Jehovah is the hope of the hopeless. Amen. Experiences 48:03-02. Paragraph 45. And there may be the man sitting here, sitting in this building right now, that is divine prophet is coming. He may raise, he may claim things. There is loss of fanaticism usually follows these things. Beware of it. I'm warning you before it comes. But God will testify of his gift. Is that right? He will testify of it. Now notice and get real close to this. You had me tell you of the healing of that woman. That mania the other day, I was on a back there at Little Rock, Arkansas. You remember my telling you about it? We remember the case of when a woman that was taken from insane institution that knocked out the glasses from the ambulance. And when she was brought, and the cobra ram there, the husband told the prophet, don't near her, she will kill you. The prophet thought, being a woman, he a man. So the prophet got there and greeted her. Then a voice spoke out. He said, William Branham, you cannot do nothing for her. I brought her here. That was Satan himself, the king of Persia, talking directly to the prophet. Then the husband said, how did she know your name? She doesn't even know her name. How did she know your name? She has not been talking for a long time. It wasn't the woman. It was the king of Persia. He said, you can't do nothing to her. In other words, this one, I banned her for life. So, and the first gift of the prophet, of the left hand to the right hand. So the prophet wanted to use it to see what caused it. So he got a hold of her right hand. The woman jacked the prophet like this. The prophet said, if I have not used my leg to hold her by the bosom, the head of the prophet will have been knocked to the ground. The strength is like hit Goliath, pull a boy of 3 years old. Now the prophet said that people in that way, that they are 8 times stronger their strength. The husband said, didn't I tell you? I told you. Then the prophet looked, stayed afar off, offered prayer, and told him, the husband, take her back to the insane institution. No, sometimes we go to the extreme. Sometimes we go fanatical, as if we have faith more than Jesus Christ himself. It will work. You've got to operate within the balances perfect of the word of God. If you are on medication, use your medicine. If you did not have God said the Lord, that don't use the medicine again. And even if you have God said the Lord, you have to check the source where it is coming from and prove it that was not enticing spirit speaking through that vessel. It has to be a proven vessel. A proven gift. The prophet said, take her back to this institution. The prophet said that when she was being taken out back, in coming she knocked the glasses of the ambulance. But when they were going, she remained quiet. She remained quiet till they got to the place. 2-3 days, she was back normal. God worked in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. Amen. Right. Yeah, there's another testimony from that same sermon. Let me Paragraph 46. The prophet just made reference to that case I just narrated now. For paragraph 46 of that same sermon. Well, I was at Corning, Arkansas, in the meeting when the War Not Ridge case come up. They were just laying on the, you know, how they are in Arkansas. The weather don't stop them there. They just bring them on. That's desperation anyway. And they will lay them out there, around on the streets, around the church, around the parsonage. And I was just going there at night then. That is what is the matter with me now. And I'm just broke down. The prophet learned in a hard way. Before he knew that rest is part of it. Jesus Christ that brought us here. After he has seen the disciples walk for some time. After a convention. When they finish and look at their stress, you say to yourself, come apart and rest a while. But we want to continue. The disciples did not say they need rest. It was Jesus Christ that said they should come and rest. Because he knew that if they continue like that, the body will break down. But that is what we do because we feel the way the strength is. We can carry this beauty on our shoulders. But the prophet learned that in a hard way. May the Lord be our help. While you pray for the ministers. Right. I'm just broke down. In the beginning, they didn't have no certain closing times. Just them churches just kept me going all night. They had spent 1 week on the platform without going home. He said when he finished, the prayer line, it was longer than when it started. After 8 days of prayers, he himself, almost a candidate of the mortuary. You know, sometimes the prophet said, when people are calling him to come, he said he get to a point that he just say, God, I've done the best I could. Because the people that are calling him say they are saying that my own child, my own husband, my own wife, my own person is in a bad case and it's just as the other ones you are praying for. You go to some places, you are not coming to my own. What is the kind of thing like this one? Some will call it partiality, some will call it different things. The man is not sincere, Jared. He only pray for who he want to pray for. He only go to where he want to go. That is why Moses almost crashed in the wilderness until he spoke what God did not like. May the Lord be merciful to us. So there was a phone kept ringing. And you know, Mrs. Nelly Reeves, there at Little Rock. Not Little Rock, but Corning, at Corning. That's Arkansas now. Well, she was, the one was answering the phone. She said, well, we can't get him up, sir. Said, we just got him to bed. Oh, she said, we just got him to bed. Not that they carry him and go and lay him on the bed. And the man kept on. So persistent. So I said, let me talk to him. She said, that is Paul Morgan. What was he, brother? What is he there in Arkansas? Tax collector of that county. So I don't think he was that then. Was he clerk? The county clerk? So I went to the phone. He said, I'm the county clerk down here at Walnut Ridge, which is about 70 miles below where I was at. And said, sir, I've heard of the great works of God. Said, I desire you to come perform a miracle on my daughter. I said, Mr. Morgan, I said, well, I can't perform no miracle. I said, God is a healer. He said, well, I have heard. I said, look, sir. He said, my little girl is dying. I said, she is in a very serious condition. And we don't expect her to live for just a day or 3 more hours. Just 2 or 3 more hours, not day. I said, and he said, I love my little girl. Said, she is my only child. She's about 12 years old. I said, I would desire you to call. I said, Mr. Morgan, I will be glad to call. But look here, sir. I said, here is people standing here on the porch with little babies. That's in front of his house. Where he was. See, and they are soaking wet from standing here all night in the rain. I said, they couldn't even get around the place. And he said, I know that, sir. Said, and I appreciate it. But said, you are a father too, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, just think. Said, these mothers, their babies are not dying. Said, they have many different things. But said, my baby has got pneumonia. And the best specialist I can get says, she aren't going to live for about 3 more hours. I said, well, sir, I couldn't even get there in 3 hours. He said, oh, Brother Abraham, said, don't think I'm trying to use my authority now for pressure. And Mr. Morgan is a fine man. He followed us a long time. Didn't he? Brother Kitchen, right along in the meeting, he said, if you will just call. Say, sir, they are babies. If they've been standing all night, say, maybe, say, they can't wait. Say, they can wait a little while. But my baby can't. And I just lost a little girl here about 12 years ago. My first little girl died. It was a long time before healing came to me. And I know how it felt. That poor little thing died. Say, well, Brother Abraham, you can't go down there on him. Said, well, there's a blank spot on him. Mike said, well, you are just about dead. He's one of the people there that told him he shouldn't go. I said, well, let me lay in the back of your Plymouth car and drove down that highway at the speed of 70 miles an hour around through Arkansas. And on the road down, I was praying. So, Abraham lied down at the back of the car, and they were carrying him to the place. And the angel of the Lord sat in the car with me for just a little peace. He said, say this to him. Thus said the Lord, waters are running clear ahead. What has Aaron clear ahead? That is my word to him. It's an adage that the future is clear. When Abraham himself had his own from South Africa, disobedient here and there, and he got sickness, and he almost died, and he pray. And talk to God, and finally one day God showed him a white sheet of paper. When he asked about his future, Then God showed him a white sheet of paper. This is your future. The future is clear. It means that you won't die now. You see, have future to live. Amen. When he left, that's when the angel left now. In the car, when he left the side of the prophet, I was just as wide awake as I am now. And I went to shouting and praising the Lord. And Brother Johnson said, "What's the matter?" I said, "The angel of the Lord was sitting there, Brother Johnson." He said, "Oh, Brother Abraham, say, any of you know Brother Johnson? He's a very fine man. He pulled off his brakes. He started crying." I said, "Just go ahead now. Go ahead, go right straight." And when we got there, where the Arkansas people love one another, and they love Paul Morgan, and all around that clinic there, there were just people gathered everywhere, waiting for the last word. They've been sitting up there all night, waiting for the last words for the little girl, who was loved among everyone. But you don't know how it felt. I got out of there, started pushing through the crowd, and here was one of the daughters standing there, and they was at the door. They wouldn't let no one in, but just what could get to the steps, and they was waiting. Everybody loved them. He said, "Are you Reverend Branham?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Mr. Morgan is waiting for you." He said, "Shall I show you to the room?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "The child still lives." And he said, "It does." And I said, "And then on the road up, we met the intern." He said, "This is Reverend Branham." He said, "Mr. Morgan is waiting for you." So when the intern went back with me, and he said, "Will you be left alone, Brother Branham?" I said, "I would rather. I'd like to see the father and mother first." Said, "Why?" They got two nurses in the room, and they are giving him oxygen. They could not put it in a tent. They had to put it over a rubber mask. Now, if there is a doctor here, I never seen it before, they put it on there and force the oxygen to the baby. And it will take a couple of breaths. Go. Then it will. Then they put that on high again. Go. Then go. Then go down again. Then the nurse will take and push it over. Pitch. Take that like that. And that is the way they was keeping it alive. When I started to knock on the door, oh man, I just felt something standing near. Brother Johnson standing there, I said, "Don't call me Brother Johnson. Let me go alone." I got to the door. One of the nurses opened the door. She said, "What do you want?" I said, "I'm Brother Abraham. I want to see." She said, "Step in." I walk in. Mr. Morgan said, "Are you Brother Abraham?" I said, "Yes." And he just come put his arms around me. And you know how he is. A great, big, fine fellow. He said, "Brother Abraham," he said, "I try to live right. I try to do what is right. I don't know why God is taking my baby." I said, "Don't be excited, Brother Morgan. Sit down." I walk over to the nurse. And she said, "We have to keep this oxygen going." I said, "That's all right. I want you to." Little girl was laying, kind of stoop over like this. I laid my hand down upon her and I said, "Now, Father," to the father. I said, "Do you and mother promise to serve God? Testify wherever you go about it." They said, "We will." I said, "Don't fear. I have a word for you. Because it's from the Lord. After I pray for your baby, putting my hands on the baby, I called over it the name of Jesus Christ. And whenever I did, they didn't have to put the oxygen on his nose again. I turned around, I said, said, thus said the Lord, Mr. Morgan, as a many specialists has pronounced your baby dying, but thus said the Lord, your baby shall live. I said, it will recover. And here is your word. Remember this, the days of your life. The waters are running clear ahead. That's what the agent said. You don't have the testimony right there, do you? He was talking to a brother. No. And he signed by notary. As and so I walk out of the building, and on the third day, the child returned to school normal. It was still well. On the third day, somebody they have concluded about. When God have not yet concluded, whatever man has to say, that is according to their understanding, that's according to their books, that's according to their machines and things like that. But God in heaven, He has the final say. When He say yes, nobody can say no. Amen. Let me read this one. That same sermon. Don't go from the next paragraph. Yes, this is another test. Now, then at Little Rock, they sent for me to call. What was that man's name? Postmaster, ever who it is, from Memphis, who I'm speaking of, I guess. He's a tall fellow. But now, when I get through with the description here, you will know. And the man was with him was named Kenny. I remember that, Mr. Kenny. And they sent for me to come over there to pray for this man. Said he was dying. Well, I got ready to go. First plane flight. And instead of going, I was getting ready. And I was putting on this suit of clothes. And I had something like a wind blowing in the room. Begin going. I thought, man, the wind is awful high today. And I was putting on my shirt. You know, and coats and things. And I was singing. And Brother Brown was going to fix me to go over. Said the man was dying. And that man that went over to Dr. General Patton, you all remember him? They had brought him in there by plane for this man. Everything said is done. A pneumonia case too. Said is done. The man can't get well. Had asthma. Asthmatic pneumonia. And so I started to put on my coat, and I was thinking Brother Brown will be there most anytime. And they couldn't get, and Mr. Kenny had come by a fast car. He was some kind of an official of the Lord there. You know, he had a red light and siren on his car. And he come over. I left early so he could get me. So if the plane did miss, and I look over there, and just a while, like going around the room, and I knelt down to pray. And when I did, the angel of the Lord spoke and said, do not go over there. His time has come. All right. I got up and took back off my coat. In a few moments, they come up to the door. And as Brother Kenny ran in, said, you are Brother Abraham? I said, yes. And Brother Abraham was with him. Now, you all know Brother Brown, or any of you wish to write to this testimony. He put his arm around me, and he said, oh, I've had faith to know. I've had faith to know. Said he's a personal friend of Pomoga. Said he knew of his daughter. And said, of course, he's unconscious now. But said he's a bosom friend of mine. I said, you know. I said, but sir, you probably find your body gone when you return back. For thus said the Lord, the man is going to die. Well, the Holy Spirit is has warned me not to go. He spoke to me here in the room a few moments ago. He said, "But Brother Abraham," he said, his wife said, "they are coming out of a big church. And you know, in their church." I said, "If you just, it will mean so much to her." They are telling the prophet, "These people are coming from a big denomination. So if you go there, it will help their faith." I said, "But I can't help it, sir. I can't go against the will of God. I can't go." He said, "You mean my body is going to die?" I said, "He will probably be dead when you return." I said, "However, what time you get back?" I said, "I'll get back by," he said, "I'll get back by 8 o'clock tonight." I said, "Call me in the morning. I'll be praying." I said, "I'm interested in him. And let me know when he passes away." I said, "You call me in the morning and let me know his condition. And just when he passes away. And if he passes away when you go there, never mind calling me tonight because I'll be in his service. And don't call me because I don't know. May not be in from service."
Sorry.
Till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, he said, then he started crying. He said, "My poor body, my poor body," like that, going back crying. Well, I went on to the service that night, and that was the very night the maniac was healed. Went back and got in the bed, and the next morning, as I went in about 2 o'clock, the next morning, I woke up. I want you to listen to this real close now so that you can get the story from Brother Brown. When I woke up in the room like that and I thought, "Man, is daylight," and look, sitting there by the side of my bed, there was a lady. Well, my room was locked. The door was locked. She had on a brown suit, light brown suit. I was sitting beside the bed of the prophet, by the side of the prophet, on the bed. The door was locked. She had on, okay. She had kind of mingled, she had kind of mingled gray hair. Mixed with black. She had on a white waist. Ever what they call the women? I think that's called coat suit. Isn't it? When it's got the dress and the coat up here at the same color. Of the same color, you know? And same thing. So she was sitting there. She was just looking so sad. Sideways. That the woman the prophet saw beside his bed. Sitting there. In the room where he alone was. And the door was locked. How did this one get here? And I raised up. I thought, why here? How did that woman get in here? The door is locked. And here is the key laying here. And that woman sitting there. And I started to raise up to say, "Madam." And when I did, I looked back over here. And there sat a man sitting there. And it was a tall man. Wore a light suit. And gray hair. And had a red tie on. He was just looking so sad like that. As he looked around to him. And a kind smile. And they kind of look over at each other. And I thought, "Wait, what is this?" And I raised up. Just as natural friends. God is my judge. And if I'm sitting right here looking at you, as if I'm sitting right here looking at you, like that. And I said, "Wait, what is this?" And I look up. And I was standing in a platform. Somewhere in a church. Where? Or I bite my finger to see if I was just sleeping. And what was wrong with me. And I see this was not, it was a vision. And I look at it. And just then, it just went fading out. And I see them laughing at each other. That is from frowning before. From looking sad before. Now they are laughing at each other. And they were bowing their heads towards me like that. And smiling to one another. And bowing their heads like that. and they just faded out of the room like that. Well, I got up and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't know them. What does that mean? There will probably be somebody come in today with that description. Sometimes I see people coming into the meeting like that. I said, now, you hear me. You heard me many times go and say, Thus said the Lord, stand up. See? He spoke that. Yeah, that has to happen. And I thought, well, somebody will be in like that. So I thought, well, I will read my Bible. This very Bible. I said, Lord, where will you have me to read in your Bible this morning? I just love to read the word of the Lord. I just took my hand like this, laid it on the Bible, and opened it up, and it opened up to where Isaiah was sent to Ezekiah to pronounce to him that his time had come. Ezekiel turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his voice and come back and spoke to Isaiah, and said, go tell him, I've spared him 15 years. You remember that? Well, I said, isn't that a strange thing? I said, that scripture, I don't forget about that case over there. I said, that's a strange thing. And about that time, the phone ring. I said, well, that's Brother Brown coming up to help. Come get me and take me now. There are two or three with him. I thought, that's him coming to get me for breakfast. And I took down the receiver. I said, hello. He said, hello, Brother Brown. I said, yes, sir. How are you, Brother Brown? He said, this is not Brother Brown. This is Brother Kenny in Memphis. I said, oh, I thought nobody knew what room I was in. And no one knew where I was staying. You see? But Brother Brown. And I knew Brother Kenny knew then. I said, well, yes. I said, well, what kind of news you got? And just then, it dawned on my mind what the vision was. And he said, well, Brother Brown, we have set up all night. We thought he was leaving. Said, they are here now. Said, they are just looking for the last minute anytime. Say, Brother Abraham, I reckon I could get my wife to come over in your next meeting when you go over to Jonesboro the first of the year. Say, bring her over, put her in the meeting. I said, maybe you could, sir. But I said, you say, he said, yes. I said, he's done. I said, is his wife there? He said, yes. I said, does his wife ever wear a brown suit like and got a white waist on it? She's kind of a gray-haired woman. He says, sure. I said, does he ever wear a light-colored suit? Does he go gray hair and he wears a red tie? He said, that is the way he dresses all the time. Why? Say, you know him? I said, yes, sir. He has not seen him before. You only know him through the vision. I said, tell the wife to come to the phone. He said, well, Brother Abraham. I said, they are looking for him to go at any minute. I said, well, tell that is her to come to the phone. Said, well, said, I already told her that you said he was going to die. I said, but I want her to come to the phone. She come to the phone. And I said, hello. And I asked if it was her. Say yes. And I said, well, this is Brother Abraham. Say yes. Said I heard Brother Abraham. That is, I heard that my husband will die. I said, but look, sister, are you ready now? She said, what do you mean? Ready for what? I said, thus saith the Lord, your husband shall live. I said, do you believe that? And I didn't hear no answer. I said, you believe that? I couldn't hear no answer. And I thought I had somebody crying on out there, carrying on out there. and she had fainted. And she had fell down on the floor. So then Brother Kenny picked up the phone. Said, what's the matter, Brother Abraham? Said, the woman fainted. I said, I told her, thus said the Lord, her husband is going to leave. He said, what? I said, yes, he's going to leave. I said, I describe him. I see him in a vision a few moments ago. She's going to leave. Oh, he is going to leave. I said, oh, can I come after you? I said, just meet the next plane. I'll be there. I walk in to the hospital. Here come his sister down the hall. She said, the very idea. Holy roller preacher around here. My brother died in India. I think he's a disgrace. That one is an unbeliever. She is saying that Abraham is trying to deceive them. Oh my. That could nothing could stop it. The devil couldn't send enough imps out of air to stop that. There is nothing. There is nothing. It is absolutely there. That's all. That has done said. Thus said the Lord. It is there. Oh, you don't know how I felt to walk in there. Walk down the hall. Here come a nurse out from India, you know. And I said, is there anyone in here, lady? Oh, she said, yes, there are two doctors in there. I said, tell them to get out. What? Oh my. You don't know how I felt in the room. There's just two of them. Friends, I know you think some of you will judge me a fanatic. But God is my judge. Who I stand before. Just walk into the room like that, and then doctors went out. That very sarcastic look. You know, walk in, and poor old sister, she was just about to faint. And I said, now don't worry, that's the wife now. I didn't have an overcoat, and I borrowed Brother Brown's. And I had this Bible sticking down in the pocket. And the overcoat was too big for me. I just carried it to keep it from looking so bad. It was cold weather. So I laid the overcoat down in the chair and I told her, now you go get the Bible and turn to a certain scripture. We are seen there in Isaiah. And she began to read it. Abraham was trying to explain to her, to make her see that though I have sent the word, that God says, Lord, your husband will die, to see where it is in the Bible, that there is a condition that could reverse it. That is why Abraham asked her to open the Bible, read where it has happened before. And I look at him, and that muddy color, looking color in his eyes, you know, or where his eyes, like, you know, that water coming out, his mouth was bad, his hair was about like that, he was laying there under that oxygen tent like that, you know. And I reached over in the oxygen tent and got a hold of his hands. There is vibration hitting. And I shook him a little bit. I said, you hear me, sir? She said, he has been unconscious for about 2 days there. I said, you don't doubt a word I say to you. She said, no, sir, I do not doubt a thing. She's a fine little woman. And I took hold of his hand. I said, dear God, you who spoke to me this morning in a vision. I know these people are to meet me at Jonesboro, Arkansas, in the service. For I was standing on that platform. And this is the man and the woman. I said, now, let the angel of God speak. I felt the vibration leave. The vibration leave. That means the sickness is gone. I just kept on praying. Then I felt him grip my hand. I know life was there. I felt him grip my hand. I just waited there a little bit. Directly I look up and I begin to see him wetting his lips. She was sitting down, that's the wife now, at the foot of the bed crying. And I just waited just a little bit. Directly, I see him look over like that. I said, you know me? That is somebody that has been unconscious for 2 days now. In few minutes now, looking at the prophet. Prophet asking, do you know me? And she raised up right quick. And she looked. That's the wife that was doing it. She, who is she talking to? She talking to this same man. And she looked. She see him raise up his head, on his head. Like on his hand, like that. Looking at me. Say, you know me? Say, yes, it's Brother Abraham. Man, she just dove inside that oxygen tent. That's the wife now. She said, dad, like that. Grab him up around like that. I just went and hugging him and everything. I just slipped right out of the room like that while it was going on, right on down the stairs. Went right back to the plane. When I started out to the plane, the assembly of God had enough people out there. I don't know where they was. They are going through the line. There is a little girl, polio. Okay, let me just leave this one. If you read further and further, the two people met the prophet back, and I'm looking at the time. We just want to repeat some of the testimony to our hearing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There was a lady in the message testimony of 53:09-02, paragraph 19 to 20, that came before the prophet, that covered her nose, because cancer had eaten the nose off. And she was weeping. And then the prophet asked her, do you believe that Jesus will heal you? He said, I just left Memphis. And the doctor told me there was no hope for me, that nothing could stop this thing. The prophet said, that is bad. Then after that, the prophet prayed for her. See, about 3 or 4 months from then, he was at Tezakana and was in a meeting there. Then there she saw somebody waving back at the prophet. This prophet didn't know. And this young fellow jumped up. He was an exterminator at there. Exterminator, he looked like people that used to kill for government, I don't know. And he raised up. He said, Brother Abraham, I just can't hold it any longer. And I said, what's the matter, son? And he said, this is my mother. Do you recognize her? I said, I don't. She said, I was a woman who didn't have any nose. About 3 months ago, she had another nose. She went back to her doctor. When the doctor saw her with the nose now, say, what happened? Where did you go? Say, I changed doctors. Say, where did you go to? Say, I went to Dr. Jesus. He said, Dr. Jesus? Say, let's see, where does he practice at? Say, I don't believe. Man, is it that so? He doesn't know where Dr. Jesus is practicing. Do you know where Dr. Jesus practices? You know where he practices? Go there where he practices. In his clinic. In his hospital. There is no negativity there. All things are possible. Let me tell you something. Some of the testimonies we are reading came from people that are aged. That man that was gray-headed, probably 80 something years or 70 something years, one can live for that. Until God himself said that his time has come. God said in this case, his time has come. He has spent his time. But somehow, maybe the faith of the wife, maybe the faith of the people, rose up to God, and then God told the prophet again. You can see when the friend came to the prophet and heard that one, he was crying. He shows how they love him. He shows how they wish him to be alive. God must have looked at all those together. He must have considered all of it together and repeated again the story in Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord, you will die. Thus saith the Lord, you will live, you no more die. He came from the same God through the same prophet. That is why the prophet asked the woman to first go and read that scripture. Because when the prophet got there, the woman said, or on phone, I heard what you said. I've heard. But Abraham said, well, there's another thing I want to tell you. God is wonderful. We can't use age or situation to judge and arrive at the conclusion. The final bus stop of every situation is faith. If somebody has faith and is looking at the word of God, the prophet said that God is bound by his word. It is God's word that put handcuffs in his own hands. If you are a child of God, if you are serving the Lord, if you are a Christian, if you have a reason to live further and to serve him, you can look at the promises, you can look at where he has done such, and God has this reputation that if he did something on the basis of somebody's approach and faith, he said, if another person had that same faith, had that same approach, he said, God is duty bound to repeat the same thing. Of course, the devil can sometimes mobilize all his hosts, gather all of them, and bring them down. Leave all their self. So just come and settle down with only you, so that you can be convinced that there's no way out. Nevertheless, it does not start with you. That has been his attitude before. It's not starting with you. It will not end with you. If thou canst believe, all things remain all things are possible to them that believe. Let me just mention this. I just want to go and then close. In South Africa, no, in Finland, I mean to say, no, the prophet told us of the vision of that boy that raised from the dead. And when he got to Finland, he was there. It was two boys that the car hit. One fall this way, the other one fall like this. The one that fall one way was just wounded, maybe, but he was still alive. Was taken to the hospital. This other one was dead. That is the one that the prophet saw the vision 2 years before that time. And then when the prophet said he looked at him, and he thought of Billy Paul. What about if my son is like this? He started crying. Then he was going away. As he was going away, he felt a hand touch his back. So he looked at the back. Nobody was there. Then he said, what is that? Then he came back and looked at this. Then he remembered that vision. Then he looked at the boy. He fitted that description. Then he told the people, open your leaflet, the brethren that are waiting. Buy leaf of your Bible. 2 years ago, I saw this vision. This is the boy. And he told the people there, if in 5 minutes this boy is not on his feet, a boy that the bones of the head has broken, that is the end.
Say, if he's not on his feet in 5 minutes, run me out of here as a false prophet. In a couple minutes, that boy was on his feet. Who joined the bones together? I don't know. The blood that he has lost, who replaced it back? I don't know. There was no need for him to go to hospital for checkup. He doesn't need to go for stitches. He doesn't need to go for anything. The Creator recreated the body back to how it was before. That was so. The prophet said that started the revival in Finland. After that, this other one in the hospital, the mother began to call the prophet. Come and heal my own son. You heal that other one. Come and heal my own son. The prophet said, I can't heal your son. Say, why did you heal one? You did not heal the other one. They were all in the same accident. The prophet said, 2 years before, I saw a vision of this one. I didn't see no vision for this one. He said, go and see vision for my son. Go and see vision for my son. He said, I wish I could. I couldn't. But I will be praying for him. Every now and then, 20 minutes, 30 minutes interval. Have you seen vision? Have you seen vision? Have you seen vision? Until one night, the angel came to the prophet and asked him a question. What did your brother give to you? He said, 2 candies. He said, eat them. First of all, he saw 2 flowers. He saw one fall down flat. That represented the boy that died. He saw the other one bent. That represented the one that was wounded. Then the angel told him, eat the candies. So he brought them out. He started chewing the first one. It was sweet. When he put the second one in the mouth, it was terrible. The taste was like starch. Then he was taking it out of the mouth. The angel told him, if you take it, if you don't eat it, that boy will die. He had to put it and eat it and eat it and eat it and bear all the taste like that and swallow it. Then he saw the other flower rose up. Then he saw the one that bent over also stood up now, because he has eaten that one according to the word of the prophet. Then the prophet called the people, thus saith the Lord, that boy will not die. Now the prophet said, the word of God is like somebody give you a money order. Or we no check. We are not familiar with money order. Money order is still like something like check or draft. If somebody give you a bank draft, bank draft is stronger than check. Bank draft will not be issued if the bank was not sure that there's money there, because it is the bank that issue bank draft. But it is individual account holder that write checks. So the check can bounce. It can become stale. It can be mutilated. The information may be incorrect. The deposit in there may be insufficient. And so on and so forth. But when a bank draft is issued by a bank is 100% sure that money is right there in that bank, is the bank that is responsible now, not the owner? Not the owner of the account. It's now the bank responsible now. The prophet said, that is how God's word is. That is how the promises is. When it is issued to you, you have gotten what you need. All that you need is to go present it. But if you are looking at me, how can I? This one is too much for me. You are going to die where you are thinking like that. Inferiority complex. I am a child of God, and I'm entitled to all the blessings of God. When a man leaves this earth, legally, all that he has is handed over to the heir. So even if the son did not go to school, even if the boy doesn't know nothing, and the father is gone, and the property is now his, all the estates, all the billions, all the shares, all the companies, all the cars, everything belongs to him, because that is the law of inheritance. So no matter how big the blessing that is handed over to me, it's my own. Oh, wonderful. Now, I'm reading these two small quotes we close. Speak to this mountain. 57:12-15. Paragraph 10. Now we read also from the great shining light. But speak to this mountain, 57:12-15, paragraph 10. We are looking for things so spontaneous. But what did he mean? You look at the mountain and say, be thou, if you say, be thou lifted up and thrown into the sea, and then in your heart believe that what you have said is taking place. Maybe just one little grain of sand begin to move from a mountain, whether it is a small sand like this one that is moving from that mountain through the old mountain, you might not be able to even notice it. But there is something in your heart that says that it is being done. It's happening. That is what you have to believe. That's all you have to be telling the devil. That it is happening. Satan, hear me well. It is happening. Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So it is happening. Even when you can't notice it, when you cannot see any difference, when you cannot, it is happening. You shall have what to say. That is the faith. Many of us are praying for at night. The next morning we say, well, there's no difference. I don't feel any difference. That is where we are failing. That doesn't have to show one thing. But if thou believest in thy heart that what you say is being done, you shall have what to say. That is it. If you believe that what you say is already taking place, I don't have to feel it, and I don't have to see it. I believe it. That is the reason that it takes place. Amen. Finally, great shining light. 57:12-22. Paragraph 139-142. After this, we close. After this, we close. Alright. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, he said, if thou say to this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, thou shalt have what you say. Now, let me quote the lexicon. That is the original Greek. Here is the way it reads. If thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou lifted up and thrown into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said is coming to pass, you can have what you say. When you said, mountain be moved, and it still stands there. You say, well, it didn't happen. Or it did happen. Oh, it did happen. When you said, mountain move, maybe one little significant grain of sand turned loose out of the hundreds of billions and billions of tons. One little grain moved. But it is beginning to take place. Hold that faith and watch that mountain disappear. It will disappear. The word of the Almighty God is sustained. The next paragraph. Thou shalt say in thy heart, disease, move from my child. Disease, move from my body. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And don't doubt. Right there, the good germs take on a new hammer and a new weapon, and the enemy begins to back up. He is defeated because Christ, in the drinking of his mouth at Calvary, yes, defeated the devil and every one of his powers, and he stripped him of everything, and it's nothing but a bluff. He can go through with it. Oh man, and he will do it. God bless you, church. The devil even don't want me to preach today, but somehow something want me to preach. Yes, sir. It was not tempting the Lord. No, I was not tempting the Lord, but I feel that I need to preach, and I committed myself to God. The way my body was this morning, it was completely charter. I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at the God's promise. I'm looking at the word of God. The Almighty God is responsible for his promises. He will back it up. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Are you a believer of that? If thou say, God did not say if I say. He said if you say. What did you say? You are the one to say what you want. Devil, leave my body. Devil, leave my child. Devil, leave my marriage. Devil, leave my work. Devil, leave my business. Devil, leave this, leave that. In the name of Jesus Christ, the angel will see to it. Almighty God will see to it. He shall come to pass according as he has promised. It is thus said the Lord. Let's commit ourselves to God. Did you believe? God is not a liar. Whatever he says, all the hosts of heaven, they are watching it to perform it. Whatever you have said now, he even said, if you say in your heart, now not only saying in your heart now, you have even spoken it out. Why pray? You have taken a step further. He said you should believe that what you have asked shall be yours. If you don't doubt, that is yours. Let's bow our heads as the pastor pray for us.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. When you came in the flesh, you did those things. There is a testimony in the Bible that all that you did, if it was to be written,
yes,
the old world cannot contain the books. And when you came again in these last days, be your prophet, you repeated the same thing. Our Master and our God, the testimonies that we have heard, they are true and they are forever settled in heaven. You change it not,
yes,
Lord. The prophet said, if you did anything for somebody on the basis of his faith, and another person come on the same basis, you are obligated. Lord, all that your children and ask for, you are obligated, O God.
Yes.
Lord, may there be no doubt, may there,
yes,
be no unbelief,
yes,
as they have believed. So let it be unto you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father.
Yes.
May they all tend to touch you.
Amen.
For your glory and honor.
Yes.
In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen. The Lord bless you. I want to welcome, I don't know whether it's a man or woman, Okoyemi.
Affect your Okoyemi Kawa. Lawa.
The man. Okay. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. You came when we have already started the service. The Lord bless you. We meet again 2 o'clock.
For
the last service of
the
day. I'm a child of God. Shall we rise? Can't we sing louder than that?
city of the Lord, in the mountain of His holiness, a beautiful constitution, that joy of the heart is from Zion, the size of the northern city of the great king. It's from Zion, the size of the northern city of the great. Hallelujah. I'm gonna do it.